In study of love and defining our relationship of love with our Father, we've looked at some Greek words translated love. We looked at thalo, we looked at phileo, and we've also looked at agape. And then we've considered some of the words for son or children or young child and those kinds of things. The Greek words paideia, the word huios, and now we want to go into the word technon. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive study of love. All I want to do is just give you a flavoring, so to speak, to kind of expand the way that you look at these words and think of these words and embrace the truths of God's word in a fuller, richer way. A kind of a sampling of a broader concept or a broader understanding of our relationship with our Father. At Connie, where she works, she talks about samples because people come in and want to sample the different perfumes and different skincare products and stuff like that. And the purpose of a sample is to give you a flavoring, a taste to see, do I like this? Do I not like this? Do I, you know, what do I think about this? With the idea that you're going to buy it. And I want to give you samplings of God's love and samplings of words relating to God's love and our relationship with God's love, because I want you to buy it. I want you to be so delighted with the entire product line that you want all of it. And I trust that as we do this, you'll find three things. One is a richer and deeper relationship with God as our Father, not only as the creator of the worlds, but as our Father, and a behavior as a son of God that shows the glory of his family, what it means to be a son of God, and that only one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, did it perfectly. So if you fall off, you miss something, you make a mistake, Jesus Christ is the only one that did it perfect all of the time. Now, I'm not saying that as an excuse for us to be lackadaisical or lackadaisical in your pursuits as a child of God, but so that you develop a determination that I know this is the love of God and I want to be this way. I want my life to represent the kingdom of God. I want people to see my life and see what it is to live in the kingdom of God, to see his goodness, to see his awesome magnificence. Not that I'm going to reflect awesome magnificence, but in my attitude and my thinking toward God, my attitude, my thinking toward the scriptures, I think they are absolutely awesome. They are magnificent. To think about the words and the truths that he has said, they are absolutely magnificent. And I would not want to live any other way. And if you'd like to live that way, come on and join me, kind of thing. To the end that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I don't want them to see the new improved Larry. You know, I want them to see the Father. That's what I really desire for them to see. The greatness of Christ in me and how our Father is. Love and light, and in him is no darkness at all. And I think to myself, am I really representing that? Because that is what I believe or desire to believe in the depth of my heart. I believe that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And do I live like someone that God never leaves nor forsakes? Or am I always there going, what the heck? You know, God, where'd you go? Yeah, that kind of thing. What it is to be a true child of God, and that our relationship of love represents what it's like to live in his kingdom. I know we're coming up on elections, and I shared on Let's Elect God, because the kingdom of God is right now. It's in you. It's not outside you. It's not the kingdom of God with if we elect godly people. The kingdom of God is in you, and it is there present and glowing day by day, day after day, moment by moment. And I wanted that you so love the Father for his loving you that it is evident in everything that you do, in your conduct, in your service as an endeared child of God. So that we love him back, become an endeared one. As I said, it's not an exhaustive study, but I hope and trust that you will find traits, behaviors, and the will of those who find discipleship in the kingdom of God, that it is a life pursuit most worthy. Acts 15, as we get into this word technon, Acts 15 is a record of the leadership coming together to find a solution to a controversy that nearly split the church. And that was, were we still under the law, and should we bring these Gentiles who are being born again, not just converted to Judaism like they used to be, but now that are born again, that have Christ in them, that have the nine manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit, that have the self-same Spirit that we received on the day of Pentecost, speaking of the Judeans, that now we're forcing them to do things and putting them back under the law that Christ came to free us from, which we couldn't fulfill and just brought us death. And it nearly split the church. And Paul and the other men, James and Peter and the rest of the apostles, Paul and Barnabas and all of the leadership got together in Jerusalem to discuss these things. And the decision, what they thought and the revelation that they received was to write a letter to the Gentiles and telling them a few things and that we were not going to force them to be circumcised and all of this stuff. And because all of the things that were happening were fighting against the great mystery revealed that Paul had received. And that's why I say it almost split the church. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to read this to you so that we are developing this in the context and getting our understanding in the context. In Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 2, Paul writes, "If you have heard of the dispensation or administration of grace of God, which is given to me to you or for you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And that's referring to Romans chapter 16, if you are wondering where he revealed this before, where he shared this before. It's in Romans, in the closing of Romans, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs," not just converts, "but they should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship, the unity, the fellowship, the oneness of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things, and then by Jesus Christ is not in the text, was added by the translators. The lack of knowledge of this mystery and the lack of practice, and how do we put this into practice? How do we start living this? How do we implement this great mystery so that we can arrive at what God has desired since the foundations of the world, and now he's making it known to us, so we must have the ability to live it. We must have the ability to do this. How do we now implement this? And that's what they were working on in Acts chapter 15, at least in a small way. They were trying to get to that place. Really beautiful. That Jews and Gentiles under heaven, and when I say Gentiles, that's all of the nations, everyone from every race, every nation, every tribe, have now the opportunity to confess Jesus as their Lord, believe in their hearts God hath raised him from the dead, and receive this marvelous gift of Holy Spirit with nine manifestations of it, and all of the accomplishments the same and common among all men. We could have this. That's what he was teaching them. Under heaven, to establish the kingdom of God upon the earth, lived by spiritual people, out of every nation, born again of his spirit with power and authority. That's what they wanted to get to for everybody. Now, I know we look at one world government or a new world order or world religion. That is not what that great mystery is. And it doesn't require everybody on the planet doing it. It just requires us knowing that it is alive in us and we can begin living it now. It is not a dress rehearsal for the gathering together. It is the reality of what we can live and enjoy from this moment, which the church of the first century was able to accomplish to a great degree in one generation. Are you into that? Isn't that exciting? And Acts 15, they give the findings a way to implement that grand mystery that in some places changed the world in one generation. In this, we find the introduction of a person who is a great example of a youth who grew and developed by being with other men and women of God who are on the move, who knew that the kingdom of God is in you and you can live it right now. And we can always add to the kingdom, but we will not lose the kingdom. In 1 Timothy, I'd like you to go there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's read what Paul has to say concerning Timothy. Because he is one of the examples. There are several more specifically that are referred to as technon. But I want to show you this because we can track him and see there's more information given about him. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior. So if he's an apostle, he must bring new light, right? Or give us a greater understanding of old light, like how does the Old Testament now fit with the truths that are given in the New Testament so that we can go regarding God, our Savior, God who wanted to save us, God who wanted to make us whole, God who loved us, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, beginning when? Yeah. Now, from the time you are born again, the new birth. Beautiful. That's what he wanted to do. And Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, or who is our hope, because it also indicates a future, not only right now, because God is in an ever-present now, he is the I Am, he is right now, but also throughout all of eternity, our hope. Unto Timothy, he's writing Timothy, my own son in the faith. The words my own son can be translated my true child. And it is the Greek word technon. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So he is writing to Timothy, and he calls Timothy my true child in the faith, my son in the faith, my technon in the faith, which is the family of faith. And that is how Paul approached his relationship with this young man. Alma, as a father with a son, or to a son. Let's go to Acts chapter 16 and find out about this youth, because records and sermons and things that I have heard regarding this particular part that we're going to read, I just want to make sure I'm in the right place here. Acts 16. That Timothy was about 15 years old at this particular time. So he was a youth. He wasn't in his 20s. He was a youth. It says, now they've received these letters to go out and a way of implementing the great mystery revealed so that the Jews and the Gentiles become as one. Then Paul and Barnabas were commissioned to go out with Silas, and they took John Mark with, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but they also took Silas and I forgot who. I don't remember. Silas and Judas, that's right. Silas and Judas with them. And they came, meaning the group, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, or a Judean, she was of the Judean background, and believed, but his father was a Greek or a Gentile. Isn't that interesting? I think it's very interesting, because you're trying to join Jews and Gentiles together, and here's a couple that figured out how to do it in marriage. And apparently got along amiably. So there's got to be a lot of truths in the marriage and in the marriage relationship that we can glean great truths in wonderful ways to inculcate and impart to our relationship with the Father and as his children, both Jews and Gentiles in one body. And as a matter of fact, in Ephesians is where it talks about the marriage, and that's one of the reasons why it talks about it there rather than some other place. But it's really nice. So That's Timothy, which or who was well reported by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. So this Timothy apparently had done some travel or had been to other places, and here at 15 years old, the brethren are speaking well of him, and had a nice report about him. In verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Gentile. Sure, absolutely. Kind of interesting, but in order to introduce what they had decided on how to implement the one body, he decided that he needed to do this, not because of the law, but to persuade. You become all things to all men, and this is really something that he did that. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers. How often?
Amen.
And it can happen today if we have a heart to do it, if we have a desire to do that. But you can see that Paul had a very was very comfortable about Timothy going with them, and apparently his parents were also comfortable with him traveling around with Paul, because it doesn't say the parents went, it says that Timothy went with them, and they went around and did this work. And as Paul was leading people into this great truth and this new light and helping them implement these new truths and new light into their lives, who's along with them? Timothy. How does a man or a woman really grow in the Word? By being around men and women who are really on the move with the truth. That's how you grow. That's why, you know, certain programs and things can be beneficial in helping people develop themselves in the ministry and further on. So now let's go to 2 Timothy, and let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, I want to take my time in presenting this to you, but I want you to see these wonderful truths. You know, Paul took Timothy with him, not because Timothy was the Johnny come lately. This is something Timothy had been developing in his life. He was already a responsible young man. Youth, not even a young man. He was a responsible youth. He had been trained properly in the scriptures and so forth. But now his parents, or at least his mother, wanted him to go even further in development of himself as a son of God. And the opportunity comes for him to travel with Paul. So they thought it was great. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Isn't that beautiful? Why was he dearly beloved? Well, because of the traits and the conducts he evidenced in his life. He learned not to be awkward. He learned how to learn. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and
day.
Well, Timothy must have made quite an impression on him, for him to think about him night and day. greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Man. Paul had a very deep connection with Timothy, and vice versa. Timothy knew the difficulties that Paul faced each day. Timothy was there when he went to Philippi, and he was taken and put in jail. Remember the Philippian jailer? And they beat them. They beat him and Silas, and they put him in the stocks and put him in the hold. And they sang hymns all night and so forth. Timothy was there for all of that. He saw the difficulties, and yet he saw how beautifully Paul handled the situation and how they wanted Paul to leave the city. And Paul said, I am not going until I go back and I meet with all of the believers because I want to make sure their hearts are right. They see me getting beat in the street. They see me thrown into jail. I want to make sure that they're not wondering, well, where is God in all this? What the heck is going on? I thought we were supposed to be happy and blissful and all this stuff. If we're in the kingdom of God, what in the world is going on? He wanted to show them, yes, but we are still in the world, and there are people who are not in the kingdom, but we are. That's why we sang hymns of praise to God all last night, and that when the gates were open and all the prisoners stayed in place and the jailer was about to kill himself, that he invited Paul to come over and then took care of him. Remember, he washed their stripes and made sure that they were taken care of and so forth, and then was there when they wanted to let him go the next day. He wanted to make sure that their hearts were taken care of. And Timothy looked at this, and you know what? It did not move Timothy off of his convictions. It just made him more convicted. You know, here's a young man being trained and growing in this, and now he's on this opportunity to be among these men, and he has these characters and traits that he sees the truth. He sees the love Paul had. Even when Paul was being unloved, even when his message was received with unthankfulness, he saw what Paul did, and he saw how he didn't allow that to affect him and the beloved ones that he was serving and working with. And Timothy's right there. But it broke Timothy's heart that people would treat Paul that way. He knew how loving that guy was. And here they, you know, he's coming in to talk about Christ. He's going to share about Christ. And what do they want to do? Beat him up? They want to get rid of him? They want to hurt him? And Timothy sees the love, and it just breaks his heart almost to see people treat Paul like that. And he also sees brethren turn and move away. He also sees brethren try to also injure Paul. But Timothy is there, and he's mindful, Timothy greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul, you should be exalted. You should be patted on the back. Paul, you should, goodness sakes. Why wouldn't anybody want to join you and help you out in this thing? This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. You know, if you read through 2 Corinthians and you see the difficulties Paul faced each day, and Timothy was right there, he was aware of it. But it's with the purpose that what the believing ones have and how blessed they can live if the word is really catches on and takes hold in people's hearts. That's what he saw. When we know and believe the love God hath to us, we will live like men and women who are loved by God. That's what Paul wanted for him. That's what Timothy wanted for him. And it was something worthy of their lives. If you had to struggle, it's worthy of the struggle. Because God so loved us and Jesus Christ so loved us, it's worthy of it. And Timothy endeared himself to Paul. He was right there. He was supporting him all the way. Just because you know what a blessing it is when people really learn that God loves you and believe God loves you and start to live like men and women who are loved by God. Then your fears go, your inabilities vanish, and you will live in the glorious good news of the finished works of Jesus Christ. And that's what he wanted, that's what Paul wanted, and that's what Timothy wanted. Well, let's look at the traits of his character and behavior of this endeared son in what the scriptures record. Because even the scriptures record him as an endeared son. You know, there's people that do things for other people, but are they endeared? There were people that, believers all over the place, but Timothy endeared himself to Paul because everything that Paul did, everything that Paul said, Timothy was in support of. He was not trying to take over for Paul. And yet, because of the way he functioned, he did a lot of things that Paul set him up so that he would be able to do the ministry when Paul had gone. But he was never tried to take over Paul's ministry. You know, steal it away from God to do something else. I don't know. Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And Timothy saw all of this. Yeah, back. It says in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, with all of the elders and the overseers. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship, your oneness, your unity in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me, or right or adequate, for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment or spiritual perception. I want you to grow. I want you to grow in love. What you know of the love of God, I want you to know more of it. What you know of loving one another, I want you to know more of it. What you know about love thy neighbor, I want you to know and experience more of it. What you know about loving the unthankful. I want you to know more about it and experience more about it. And what you know about love thy enemy, I want you to know more of it, and I want you to know more expansively of it, because God will never give us anything that will injure us or hurt us. There is a way to overcome every situation in life. And the way of overcoming is the love of God. And I want you to know this and develop it. And Timothy knew it because Timothy was there with him. If Paul was just giving him a chat or just a little thing, that was not what Paul was really working toward for the people. Don't you think Timothy would have known? But he saw this man who God had so fired in his heart what Christ had done for him. Christ had so fired in his heart what he had done for him. And he started to understand this, and he started to understand the beauty of the kingdom of God, what it is to live in grace and how to utilize grace to abound in the things of God. Not to abound in the things of the world, not as an excuse for sin, but grace so that you could live even greater and bring blessings to people, healing, deliverance, just everything in every area. Living love and loving God, loving the beloved of God, and we are doing a good work before God, and God recognizes it. Do you have to do anything? No. Timothy could have went home. He still has eternal life, right? He was born again. Paul could have gone home. He had eternal life. He was born again. But he saw what God, the extent of what God did for him, that he wanted to love God to the same extent. And he wasn't satisfied until he could grow a little more in it and get a little better in it. Press toward the mark of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. He wanted to get close to it. The perfectly renewed mind is not available till Christ returns. But it's 99.999999 perfect. No. How far can we go? We know the perfect isn't, but how far do you want to go? How big do you want to get in this? How big do you want to serve God and have an understanding of what God desires for mankind? God's good intent to mankind. God so loved the world that he gave. How far do you want to go? How big do you want to develop yourself in that? That is endearing yourself back to God, because he's already loved you, and there's nothing you're going to do that's going to make him love you more, and there's nothing you're going to do that's going to make him love you less. If he so loved us, why not develop myself to be a representative of his kingdom? Let other people see the beauty of the kingdom of God in me. And that's what Timothy wanted to do, working with Paul. And Paul was willing to help develop him and lead him in these wonderful traits and developments. Then in chapter 2 of Paul, Philippians. I'm looking at my note here, and I'm reading Paul, and I'm thinking, well, I'm doing. Okay. In chapter 2, verse 12, Paul writes back to the Philippians. He has such great love for these people. He says in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," or with reverence and obedience. Be an endeared child back to God. If he so loved you, be an endeared child back to God. How many times have you sat and saw a mother loving on her child and being kind and gracious to that child, and then that child who just, "No, I don't want." And you sit there and you think, "Gosh, she's being so sweet to that child. How What a response. And you kind of pray in your heart that that child just responds back sometime with that love that she so richly deserves, because she had just trained him in love, cared for him in love, blessed him in love, and did all these things that you just want to see, you know, the bread come back, the bread on the waters that she cast come on back, buttered in love, you know. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as what?
Light.
Holding forth the word of life, not just in what you speak, but in how you live and what you do. That I may rejoice in Christ, in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith or your believing, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you rejoice with me, joy and rejoice with me. But, he also knows of the problems that they've had. And this next verse is what I call one of the hallmark sections of the word, where you care enough to send the very best. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. He wasn't concerned about their standing. They were sons of God. He knew they were sons of God. That's not going to change. But what's going to happen, or what can happen? Your state can fluctuate. And he wanted them to remain in that good, wonderful state, that joyfulness of being in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is present in you. Remember, Jesus taught them that. The kingdom of God is in you. It's not something we're waiting to happen. We're not trying to set up everything so that the kingdom of God can come to earth. The kingdom of God is already on the earth. It's within us, and it is right now, and we can live in it and have the effects of it right now. Well, when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. The word naturally is genuinely. He knows Timothy, he knows Timothy's heart, and he knows Timothy will absolutely do the same thing. I would be sacrificed if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, so that you can have joy and rejoice. Timothy was the same way, and he knew it. He genuinely, genuinely cares for your state. It's not his assignment that motivates him. It's not future assignments that motivate him and what he may do 6 years from now, or what he may belong to and all of that. It is in his heart right now, because he is aware of what God in Christ has done for him and the joy and blessing that he has authority and power over all the power of the enemy. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. I don't know, and I really don't think, that this is said to be critical of the other leadership, the elders and the deacons. Remember, he's writing to them. But he's just showing them in a comparison of how Timothy is, so that they may grow. Remember, he talked about them growing more and more in all That your love may abound more and more in all knowledge and spiritual judgment, in your judgment, your spiritual perception. It's in a comparison in that not that he's dissatisfied with everybody, but I want this Timothy, compared to Timothy, he gets it. He really gets it. The guys that are with you aren't bad men. They're not terrible leaders and all of that. But Timothy really gets the whole heart behind it. But you know the proof of him, that as a son, a technon, with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel, in the good news. And this is really something, because the word served is the Greek word doulos, which is a bonded slave. Now, when you think of a bonded slave, what do you think of? Somebody who's owned by somebody else, right? But that's not really the truth of it. Let's go to Genesis chapter, let's see. I forgot what we're in. Oh, Genesis chapter 21. Genesis? No, Exodus chapter 21. I'm sorry. And I want you to get this, because Timothy is an endeared son. He's endeared himself. Remember his thoughts towards Paul's welfare. He cried night and day for him, that Paul would be filled with joy, that the believers would reach this place where they are just living this. And when Paul sees what he's really accomplished, his teaching and his sharing with them, and what they are garnering in their hearts, he just has that wonderful satisfaction of, they get it. They got it. They got it. Well, excuse me. Exodus chapter 21, it says, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free." I want you to understand this. They're not being held hostage to get him to make a decision, because he wouldn't say, I love my master. He says, I love my master because I've been working for you for the last 6 years, and you care for me more than I care for myself. You watch over me more than I watch over myself. Now, I have duties to do, and I have things. I am your servant. I've been paid to do that. But you take care of me like I am worth something to you. And why would you get a servant who was just a pain in the neck and not worth anything to you? So it's a relationship, even as a servant. It's people don't understand that the biblical way was to take care of that person so that when he left you, for instance, I got indebted to Joseph. I needed to money. I was foolish with my money and all of that stuff, and I became indebted. So Joseph, I make myself available to be somebody's servant. Joseph comes along, he looks at me, he decides he's going to buy me. I serve him for 7 years. In that 7 year, 6 year period, the seventh year I go out free, in that 6 year period, he kind of takes me under his wing and teaches me, this is how you do a job. This is how you keep track of your money. Look, this is how I do my business, and I lead you through. Now I'm his servant, and he's showing me this is how I don't get into a place where I'm so in debt I have to sell myself. This is how you run a business. This is how you take care of things. And I think, man, he's doing a better job for me than I did for myself. His care for me is better than my care for myself. I love my master. I love him. And I love my children. I will not go out free. Then his master, verse 6, shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost, and the master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever, or be his servant forever. And at that point, he becomes a bond slave. And what bonds them is, I love my master. I love my children. I love my wife. And I know my master loves me. We are all bound by love, and I want to serve him the rest of my life. Does that make sense to you? What our service in the ministry is to be, what our service in the body of Christ is to be, what our service in the kingdom of God is to be. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. And I could think of no better place to be, because there is no one on earth that cares more for me than my master. I want to serve him for the rest of my life. And that includes eternal life. Jesus Christ is our master, and I want to serve him throughout eternity, because he is so good. He is so gracious. He has saved me from so many problems, saved me from so many different things. I want to do this. And it says that Paul and Timothy, let's go back to that record. Where were we? In Philippians, where are we? In Philippians? Philippians 2. He hath served, bondslaved with me, Father and Son. Yeah, let's go there. Philippians 2:22. All right. It's a good place to go. I want you to get this idea of the service. It's a service of love. Now, here the proof of him, that as a son, an endeared son with the Father, he hath been a bond slave with me. I am tied to him in love, and he is tied to me in love, and we have mixed together in love with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord, I myself also shall come shortly. So, just a little bit of, you know, about Timothy. See, I want to be your bond slave because the bond is a bond of love. What ties us together and what makes us one is the bond of love. What bound Timothy to Paul is the good news of the accomplishments fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And I also want to join. So there's a few things more I want to share with you on this. Maybe it's a little deeper than, I don't know. But I wanted to share this with you. So God bless you. Have a great week.